Okay, here we are, March 23rd, and Harm is going to lead our discussion. We're in Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter what did I just say? 13. Go ahead, Harm.
Yes. Welcome all. This is amazing stuff we have today. We came from 12, chapter 12, and that was about especially about the Sabbath day, to make a delightful day, not to do your own will, but His will. No empty words. And I'd love to read the last one of the last of the chapter previous. And I myself will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth of your inheritance, and I will uphold thee as the heirs of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord had said that ye are a remnant of his seed. So this is Jesus speaking. He's referring to Messiah and the time that it's like a parallel to our time. And so yeah, let's begin with the first verse. Russell, would you read that?
Sure. Therefore, Alma also commanded that the priests whom he had ordained should work with their own hands for their sustenance, except the evangelists, establishing themselves among them one day of each week, besides the Sabbath, in which they were to meet to teach the people and worship the Lord their God, and should they also meet as often as possible. As often possible.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very interesting that they almost have two Sabbaths in a week.
Yeah, it's very interesting in the middle of the week, and to do like the others, almost like the other side, meet the people, do the work, get things organized, and to keep the Sabbath like really spiritual and holy. But there's lots of things to do, and we try to do some extra for the gospel on Wednesdays. But it's very interesting to have an extra besides Sabbath, and meet as often as possible. It's so interesting.
If I can make a
So
comment here,
please.
this is covering, so this is the Savior pointing to Mosiah chapter 18 and expounding on it. And I think in this verse, he clarifies two things that we don't get in the Book of Mormon. If you turn to Mosiah chapter 18, it's verses 24 and 25. I'll just read those two real quick. And he also commanded them that the priest whom he had ordained should labor with their own hands for their support. And there was one day in every week that was set apart that they should gather themselves together to teach the people and to worship the Lord their God, and also as often as it was in their power to assemble themselves together. So the two things that this first verse in chapter 13 clarifies is he says that they should work with their own hands for their sustenance, except the evangelists. I don't think we get that in the Book of Mormon. So he's saying the evangelists are excluded. And then he also says one day each week besides the Sabbath. I think it kind of clarifies from the Book of Mormon. We don't, it says that they set aside one day each week, but in my mind, that just meant the Sabbath day. But this is saying it's in addition to the Sabbath day. So just an interesting thing how we're getting some clarification from the Savior expounding on the Book of Mosiah here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And also the acceptation now revealed in this time of the evangelists. Very interesting.
It's almost like the Levites, maybe from old.
Well,
The
yeah,
priests.
yes, as a part of the priesthood set apart to to what is to maybe also the offer of his lips, which comes later in the chapter, of only spreading the word, broadcasting. Great. Dewey, would you do verse 2?
Sure. I wanted to mention I was listening to a podcast about traveling on the high places from Abram Gileadi last night after I'd listened to our lesson, the previous lesson last week. And in there, he mentioned that, after you see the Lord on the earth, then as you progress, then you rise up, you ascend up like the ascension of Isaiah, and you see the earth that it's round, and that you traveling on the high places could be as you ascend up because you see the earth as you go up into heaven. The other thing I thought was interesting is that he mentioned that traveling on the high places is like going through the portals, which he gets from Visions of Glory, his friend Spencer. I just wanted to toss that out because there was a question the previous week about that, and then I heard that same night, and just got me thinking about there's a lot of technology that we don't have yet that spaceships and holograms that they can send a burning bush down to us and. I think it's just now in this generation that we can begin to understand some of these things. The ability to, literally, I've asked and been answered right then, no delay. So, distances are irrelevant when it comes to getting your prayers answered. Anyway, let's get on with the first two. And so the words of Mosiah may serve as a reference to my people in the fullness of times. The book of Mosiah makes it clear that Alma began the order of Enoch, again among the people of the Church of Christ in his day, when he commanded that his members should share their goods, each according to their possessions. He who had abundantly should share more abundantly in the reason of him who had little, and whoever had nothing to him would be given. And so, according to their free will and because of their good feelings, they should share their goods with the needy priests, yea, and with every needy naked soul. Yeah, I don't know that we have too many naked souls these days. But anyway.
Well, there's the reference to, it reminds me of the reference to the orphan and
Right.
widow and the tiny eyes. So there's lots of pain still going on, but that's obvious, I think. This is all building up to the sharing of the higher things. But if you don't learn to see the things which are needed, who see that's also interesting with the visual part and the invisual part in the second invitation. That yeah. If you see the need, if you, yeah, and act upon it. So maybe three.
Oh, before we go on, could I just point out a couple other verses following in the same chapter of Mosiah?
Yes.
When I saw this for the first time, I don't know how I skipped over this so many times, having read the Book of Mormon. Verse 27, it essentially talks about the order of Enoch, which Christ is pointing out here. Let me just read that. It says, again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, everyone according to that which he had. And here's the key. If he had more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And of him that had but little should be required. And to him that had not, it should be given. So we're essentially looking at the law of consecration here, right? The order of Enoch, where the rich are made low and the poor exalted. You know, we're trying to equalize. He who had a lot gave a lot. He who had a little gave a little. He who didn't have anything, to him it was given, right? I read over that verse so many times and didn't even think there's the law of consecration right there. And here Christ is pointing this out. Pretty interesting.
Very
Yeah. I also
interesting.
want to look at the verse just before that, verse 26, because we read it here in verse 1 where it says everybody should work with their own hands except the evangelists. But here in verse 26 of Mosiah 18, it says, and the priests were not to depend upon the people for their support. And so if we're talking about the same thing, if the evangelists don't work with their own hands for their support, and the people aren't supposed to support them, I don't know. How do the evangelists get support? Curious.
Now
Well, I
it's
guess.
interesting. It's there in 26. The priests were not to depend on the people for the support, but for the labor, they were to receive the grace of God, so that they might wax strong in the spirit. So that you might get your what you could understand that you would on the way be on the way preaching, and that the Lord would supply like what it says in Alma with the when he went to meet he was sent away from the one city and got to the other, and there you're gonna have the faith that you're believing that you're gonna meet someone who is prepared, who's gonna support you.
Yeah.
So I think it's about the whole the being on the way for the word, and then wax strong in the spirit. You know, also to that they might teach with power and authority, and so it's a deepening thing, I think. The because it's not it says not evangelists here in 26, but priests. So priests are the people also set apart to organize all the stuff in the church and help the local people, but maybe the evangelizing is like with apostles, that it's like a traveling quorum meant to be. I think brother Woodby is the best example for us there, that we're supposed to be traveling and organizing, but also in spirits, of course, and building a spiritual temple.
For the harm. It occurs to me the similarity when he's talking about or leaving out the fact they haven't gotten any proceeds to go out with, but it was like that with the early church in the ministries, right? Don't
Absolutely.
folks give away. Well, we've got several examples in there of, and to me that means that they were relying on the Spirit. Their focus in their evangelistic mission is to be in the spirit, sharing the spirit of truth. And what better way? Because if you're walking around with a handful of money and a pocket well padded, you're going to be distracted by a lot of things. But if you're depending upon the spirit to work through other people, just like he gives an example of the birds of the field and the lilies, etc., I could see how that would have a powerful help to the people trying to spread the message. So whether that's evangelists or priests or not, it leaves us a little confused. But fact, the business is, you're out there to do my work, and I ask you to depend upon me to support you. It will strengthen your faith by doing that every day. So that's how I took it. the people.
And yeah, and the urgency, I think, about the food, having the need, the humility, and that's here in the same chapter about the birds. So I think that's connected, what you say, that it would be visible to the people who are new at this, that you would get support and the miracles would follow. Great,
What
thank you.
words, neither person nor script or something like that, I believe.
Yeah. And also the whole fulfilling thing that we would need the script and then read the script, understand the script, act upon it, and then you get new stuff. Okay. Verse 3. Brother Rex, would you read verse 3? Please.
Sure. And thus he told them by order of God, because he received revelation from him. And so they walked right before God by listening to their prophet, helping one another, both materially and spiritually, according to their needs.
Thank you.
So we see
Shall
that
we?
Alma was receiving revelations. The people apparently were unified in their feelings and listening to their prophet, and they saw the benefit of being a united order, sharing one to another.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really good to keep in mind that Jesus points to this period of being molded into one as a people, very good recorded, better than what we have about Enoch. Brother, would you read verse 4, please?
I'd be glad to. And it came to pass after some time that Alma and his people were driven into the wilderness, as my people in the fullness of time shall also be driven into the wilderness, where God the Father will prove the quality of their faith in these words, for the purpose of transforming, purifying, and preparing them for the attainment of their inheritance with me, Jesus Christ. This is a
Thank you.
pattern. We've got
This is
seen this.
exactly this is the same again and again. I began to realize, and it, there's a this this only this, only this one chapter is like you could lay over Isaiah and the Exodus in all forms, maybe even the 8 days, like in a higher way, like 8 steps, the especially the for the purpose, and without, please remember all the hardship when you have to learn something or want to master an instrument. The transforming, the purifying, and preparing for inheriting Jesus, and for me, while I was studying this chapter a lot this week, the thing, the purifying, the gardener, the shepherd, the whole thing that God chastises the one he loves, for me really stood out. And that's here in the purifying, transforming part, that it's hard to lay off your old self.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
There's seven exoduses in the Book of Mormon, seven different times that this pattern happened. And then also in Isaiah, there's 30 events that happen, and one of them is a new coming to the mount. So all of these things that happened in Moses' day during the Exodus, some of them repeat in our day, coming back to the mount when Moses is at the top of the mount, and then they had 70 elders of Israel who were eating and supping with the Lord at the top of the mountain. And then, of course, they had all the way down to the bottom of the mountain where the wicked who had not yet transformed and purified themselves, they were worshiping things, then were punished. But that event will happen on the Exodus. Now, whether it'll happen on the multiple Exoduses, I've wondered. But on the main Exodus, and I'm just assuming that's out of Utah, but I don't know. And I don't see how that couldn't repeat in several Exodus to the New Jerusalem. But I just wanted to point that out, that those patterns, some of us are going to see that. And for the purpose of transforming, purifying, and proving the quality of their faith, I think some of us on those journeys may not make it. I mean, if the follows the same pattern, they're swallowed up by the earth and different things plagued. So this purifying and preparing them, it's going to be an interesting journey. I'll pass.
Thank you. Deborah.
Maybe Dolores.
Dolores, sorry.
This could be looked at a different angle too, besides a physical one of actually going into a wilderness, like we're going to, well, people are going to Brazil. Saints are going to Brazil. But also individually, we are in a different type of wilderness as we're meeting through Zoom, through this electronic. It might be more individual of transforming and purifying us and preparing us for the new type of the church that he wants us to organize. That's my thought.
Thank you. Would you read verse 5, please?
Certainly. But after 8 days, runaway, I put traveling there. After 8 days traveling in the wilderness, they came to a very beautiful and pleasant land, a land of pure waters, which had been prepared beforehand to receive them. And as soon as they arrived in this land and pitched their tents, and they began immediately to cultivate the soil and to build buildings in being an industrious and hardworking people.
Thank you. Yeah, the wilderness. I was thinking also about the multiple layers about the wilderness we face. Also, the Joseph thrown in the pit, but also the Joseph born from Lehi and Zariah, who was born in the wilderness, which have specific meaning. And I think the getting out of the wilderness, the say maybe the carnal, devilish, sensual feelings, it has to do with the higher octave, like in Old Testament, New Testament, that so the offering of the words to be purified also from the inside, not only the outside. That's what was left over in the Bible, with they not wanting to have the high priesthood. And that's what he's explaining to us, I think. And then if we dare to go through the wilderness, there is a land which is, and now we even have pictures. You can almost imagine that we get more proof, as you can say, maybe, as Alma also testified a lot of the proof of the planets. And as you said, Dewey, by the different, that's also what I wanted to, what you said about to being put to view the earth from above. So that we have had these prophets who have been taken to higher realms, literally, to be able to testify. And in that context, I wanted to mention the first book of Moses, of the Pearl of Great Price, because that popped in my mind when you testified of that, and that Brother Des McLellan talked about as a preface to the sealed book, so that it could be interesting also for all of you to read again in this new light of that we have a prophet. Mauricio has been taken up, and this is the new perception we have to get used to. So very interesting symbolism here, this verse. Immediately cultivating industrious, hardworking people. And then the next verse, also very interesting. Michael, would you read 6, please?
Yeah, verse 6. And being a free people, he established himself among them that they would not have for leader or minister men who were not God-fearing, but that they should walk in his ways and keep his commandments. This is Mosiah chapter 23 now. We've kind of skipped ahead. In verse 7, it says, this is Alma speaking. Because they were desirous that Alma should be their king. They just came from King Noah, and now they fled into the wilderness and they want another king. And he says, behold, it is not expedient that we should have a king, for thus saith the Lord, you shall not esteem one flesh above another, or one man shall not think himself above another. Therefore, I say unto you, it's not expedient that you should have a king.
Thank you so much. We still have a king in the Netherlands. It's embarrassing sometimes. No, the whole filling in how to deal with it. I understand it has good things too,
But because he has no power,
but he has no power. He is like,
it's more ceremonial.
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very good here. Thank you for sharing that, because it's not. But we need God-fearing men. That's I think was the first thing with the Pilgrim Fathers. They had both. You had the law, and you had the freedom of the religion. We still have, thank God. But if we want to do it better, we need leaders, in a collective way, with full unity of heart and spirit, to be able to get the powers that God wants us to have in the priesthood, that the elements will obey the voice, and we have to be more one.
Further, oh, I
So
found an additional verse further down in verse 14. It says, and this is the verse in verse 6, trust no one to be your teacher or your minister except he be a man of God, walking in his ways and keeping his commandments. So it's part of that same discourse, let's not have a king. Let's get men of God who are humble and honest, God-fearing.
Exactly. Not only obeying, but free from themselves. Balki, would you read verse 7, please?
Yes. To the people of the church, Alma taught that each one should love one's neighbor as oneself, so that there would be no intrigues between them. And so Alma, being the high priest of my sacred order, became the founder of the church among them, appointing authorities to preach and teach the people of the church, so that there would not be among the candidates for evangelizers those who were not authorized by God to teach, being that all members, men and women, were appointed to speak in congregational meetings with the purpose of priests preparing them for ministerial work in the preaching of the gospel. And there's a footnote. Oh, it's about the sacred order, Mosiah 23, verse 16.
And now Alma was their high priest, he being the founder of their church. At 16.
Yeah, it also says it here.
So nuanced, this verse. Very interesting. Also the... That they would not, specifically the evangelizers. So already a strange group. There would
Was
not
that
be among
like the word evangelizers? Would we equate that today to modern day apostles, the ones that go out to preach the gospel?
I think so. Feels like that. That they were set apart to fully go out. And I'm not certain, but it's interesting that they put apart again here, that so that it would be something to want also as a member.
Yeah, because those appointing authorities are the those authorities are the evangelizers, then.
The candidates for evangelizers, not be authorized to teach. So first, get them to know what it is to serve, to really serve in your calling, in the congregational meetings. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Often it mentions in the Book of Mormon about certain people that were very good at their speech, and they were able to go out and preach to people. And just as you were talking about how it was wonderful to rely on the Spirit of God, these people would rely on their ability to preach, and people would give them clothing and food and all sorts of things because they had this gift of gab, so to speak. And so there might have been people who wanted to be evangelizers because they saw that happening in other people's lives. And
exactly.
Then it turned the spiritual into a carnal way of evangelizing. That's my thought
yeah,
on
maybe,
it.
Maybe some pride, yes, pride thing. Would Steve?
Yeah, I was thinking about this from a perspective of, if you remember that old saying, God first chooses the people and then he prepares them. This particular process sets him up to let those who the Spirit will guide to rise above in their abilities to preach, but it's going to be governed by being called of the Lord. In other words, if they're being taught the things in righteousness by teachers and priests, there will be some that rise up, but they will be called according to the Spirit and of course, the people in the church. so that you don't have somebody out there just with the gift of gab making money. It's going to have to come through somebody who is risen in the spirit to stand to that position and have the spirit to be with them.
Amen. Thank you, brother and sister. That's exactly what I felt here. So, verse 8, and so as iron sharpens iron, so my people become more and more qualified in the art of teaching and skilled in the handling of the words in order to offer the offers of his lips as sacrifices to God in the preaching of his gospel to the world. Because all are partakers of the body of the church, by whose sacrifice offered with words and songs of praise are more pleasing to me than a bull on the altar. So that's interesting. That's an idea of the Lord telling us it's okay, you offer. But what I like the best should be the words. And no matter if you can sing or not, it's the I remember my father, and when I was young, he could not sing, but he made sound and he said the words. And it felt like kind of cozy to be around to him singing at one time in the week. But it's the it's if what's in it, and he was a farmer. He was not really a performer, but what's in the words matters. For me, the 2 times in a year we went to church to go for the prayer for the crops in the in the in the it made sense to me as a farmer son that you pray for that. Now I heard somebody say the other day, why can't we do that on Sunday? Because we're already there. So to take something apart, and I also see and feel here this other day to make room for the Lord's work and implementing the united order and organizing everything. That's the whole thing, to become one, one heart, one mind, one action, and speaks louder than prayers. So the I as iron sharpens iron, and we're confronted with it this a lot, with the clashing of the war guns here in Europe, where we have never had so much enthusiasm for building an army. It's supposed to be uplifting, but it is not. But for me, this is much more uplifting. The pureness of the words, and in order to offer the offers of his lips as sacrifices. And this will never stop, this process of purifying our speech and thought.
Maybe look the
Yeah.
footnotes, or maybe from that one, Hosea 14.
You have it?
No, you have the Bible. Maybe someone
Well,
else has
someone else has
it.
comments or has the Hosea ready?
I can give you Hosea. Hosea 14:2, take with your hands and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we offer the calves of our lips. And I was trying to figure out a better word than calves, but I look in some other translations. Praise from our lips. So far.
Thank you.
How about sacrifice? Did that
Yeah,
work?
I think so.
Sure.
Jude, do you want to read a verse? our new brother. I don't have a picture, but maybe you're still there.
We can hope he's still there. Maybe I.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm here, but I don't have scriptures.
Okay, so you're listening in.
Yeah, I'm listening in.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll continue. Verse 8. Yeah, 8.
Verse 9.
Only 9. Yeah, you're right. Brother Russell, please, would you read?
And it came to pass that no one was given authority to preach or teach except by the call of God through Alma. He therefore consecrated all the priests and all the evangelizers, and no one was consecrated unless he was righteous, who watched over his people and edified them with things pertaining to the righteousness and the good feelings of the gospel of Christ.
Exactly what we talked about earlier. To get no one there without the full spirit and the good feelings and righteousness surrounding that. Brother Dewey, would you please read verse 10?
And it came to pass that they began to prosper much in his new land, in this new land, where they multiplied and prospered greatly. Nonetheless, the Lord deems it convenient from time to time to prove his people. Yea, he proves his patience and his faith after making them prosper abundantly. But he who trusts in him shall be lifted up in the last days. I was thinking, you know, Mauricio talked about the storms that would hit America, the tornadoes and different things. And that certainly would be something that would prove your patience and your faith. You know, you're prospering in the land, you're doing, keeping the commandments perhaps as maybe in a casual way or whatever, or maybe even a really good way. And then all of a sudden you lose your farm and your livelihood. Anyway, there'll always be trials. There'll always be people who will test you in your, you know, I couldn't help but think that with the Tesla situation, my son drives a Tesla, and he hasn't had it keyed in St. George, but there's a huge difference of the quality of people in St. George, Utah. That's at the bottom of our state. And it's about, I don't know, 100 miles away from Vegas, where they burned down all those Teslas. And anyway, I couldn't help but think a little bit about that we could truly be tested by civil war. And it seems almost impossible that that thing could happen. And yet it is said that Egypt, in Isaiah, Egypt or America will go into civil war. And I've often wondered, well, is it going to be the rich and the poor, or the blue states and the red states? And this Tesla thing is very interesting happening in our country. But obviously, we prospered greatly and we multiplied. And I think we're coming to a time period where the Lord's going to prove his people in America by taking away things and having civil war and disobedience. And anyway, those are my thoughts.
Thank you. I think it's all here that he's providing some comfort for the things to come. And actually, while you were reading, I thought this is all happening. So, and we have to be aware from time to time. It will not. It is expedient. It's necessary that we're personally being proved and what purified and chastised. And it's actually this pointing to this time of Alma in relation to our time. It's interesting that the next chapter he's doing the whole thing again, but then with all the peoples and the nations. So this is actually the whole olive tree thing, but then in one generation or a few. I think this is what we have to appreciate more and more. Also, why everybody or everything tends to cannot be understood without Isaiah, because that's the biggest thing where it all comes together with all the peoples. This week I had a good talk with a guy who studied philosophy and everything, and he didn't want to talk about nations. So I was thinking, but every tongue, nation, and tribe will have their own purification process. You know, it's not only the individual, it's the tribe, it's the nations. Everybody is accountable for their own organization, where they put in all their effort and light and trust. It deems it convenient, even, you know, the Lord deems it convenient, even like that we should learn to appreciate this chastising thing of the nations, even of families, or it's a personal thing that you're, if you don't care, you don't oppose things, you're like, you go ahead on your highway to hell. But if you care, you're yeah, try to point them the right way. And we will be lifted up. So even if you don't make it, you will be lifted up. You will be lifted up. What a hope. Dolores, you wanted to say something? Okay.
I did.
Oh, Michael, please.
I in answer to the question before, who are the evangelizers? Because it's come up two or three times in this chapter. I was in Mosiah chapter 23, verse 17, and this is in conjunction with verse 9 that we just read. So kind of backing up a little, verse 9 it says, or it correlates with verse 17 in Mosiah 23. It came to pass that none received authority to preach or to teach except it were by him from God. So that's what it's saying here, except by God, the call of God through Alma. And then it says, therefore, Alma consecrated all their priests and all their teachers, and none were consecrated except they were just men. So if we're correlating the two, in the Book of Mormon, it's written as teachers, whereas in the seal book, they're called evangelizers. So I was thinking maybe apostles, but maybe we're talking about priests and teachers here instead. Just a thought.
Yes, I think you're right. There's this list in apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists, if I'm correct, in
Articles of
the
faith.
Articles of Faith, the 13 Articles of Faith, Joseph Smith. That's the list. So, yeah, we're beginning to understand all the different ministries. Okay. Brother Rex, would you please read verse 11?
Sure. And so it was with the people of Alma as to the time when they became captives of the Lamanites and of Amulon until the day when the people of the church ceased to cry out with their voices, but opened their hearts before the altar of God, invoking him in their feelings and acknowledging that no one could save them except the Lord their God, yea, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And What this brings to mind is the difference that can be had in praying versus calling out to God. We can see in different instances, such as what was it, the brother of Jared for a time did not call upon the Lord, and he was chastised for that. That doesn't necessarily mean that he nor the people did not pray, but it said that I believe the scripture says that he did not call out to the Lord. So it's a to opening of our hearts, our feelings, and a greater communication, if you will, to the Lord. So that's a thought that came to my mind as I was reading this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This for me really stood out, the cease to cry, and also the what you say now, very good to call upon God and the example of the brother Jared who ceased to do that, and even to call out to people or to because we pray sometimes for our spouse, our friends and brothers and sisters, and sometimes we need not to pray but to call out and reach out. And for me, it I also think about Enos, who cried to the Lord the whole day, and that the opportunity was taken from them to cry to the Lord. It is very interesting. So it became a blessing that they were like put down in actually being able to like what they had here in the Netherlands with the baptism reformed. They were not allowed to go, but in secret they were allowed, with the to congregate, yeah. And because they ceased to cry here, they opened their heart. So if we want to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and if we have the hardened hearts in the beginning of the sealed book, so we have to have there's a wall built around the heart, so we have to have a pick or a hammer to break down the wall to be able to feel. So, and that's here. So this was a help for these people that they were going to think, okay, we really need this God to be free, and we have to think about him all day. We have to feel instead of saying, feeling. And then we would invoke the powers of the universe of God himself to make the elements vibrate, so to speak. I think we're through our time. Probably take next week to finish.
Okay,
Thank you all.
great. We got through chapter 13, verse 11.